This is Bruce Collins, your host for the Bible Studies program. Again, greetings this morning and welcome to our lesson. We're glad you've tuned us in. We trust the program will encourage and bless you, and as we read in this passage, that it will strengthen you. Now, for those of you who would like to contact me, I will give you my mailing address and website address at the close of the program. You can write to me if you would like to have a copy of the program. If you would like to be placed on the free subscription mailing list for Grace and Truth, the monthly magazine that I've been offering over the last year or so, please send me your name and address. I'll send it on to them. So if you would like to re-listen to the programs, if you'd like to listen to my weekly meditation, or at least read my weekly meditation on the websites, then you'll need the addresses, and you'll want to write them down at the close of the program. You might want to get a pencil and a piece of paper out so that you can do that. Now today we want to continue in Acts chapter 14. We want to continue looking at this first missionary journey of Paul's, where he went with Paul and Barnabas into the area that we would now call Turkey, and he preached the gospel, and the Jews seemed to resist it, but the Gentiles seemed to embrace it. We have noted that Antioch and Pisidia was one of the places where they embraced it, and it became sort of the base for the gospel in that area. It's the place where it seemed like God got a foothold and was able to use the people who responded to the gospel in that area for reaching out to others. Now, we noted that when Paul got done preaching the gospel in this area, after Paul actually was stoned and he had preached the gospel in this area and had made many disciples, then he returned to Lystra, Iconium, and Antioch, strengthening the souls of the disciples, exhorting them to continue in the faith. In other words, he exhorted them to be faithful to the Lord, and he said, "We must through many tribulations enter the kingdom of God." Now, we talked about the fact that sometimes because of resistance to the gospel, and because our friends don't understand us, and because there is persecution associated with the gospel, if Christ was crucified, sometimes, particularly in this early church, his followers were martyred as well. We are told that we are to take up our cross and follow him, so there is persecution associated with this. Sometimes we wonder if following the Lord is worthwhile, and we are wondering if it is even a wise decision financially and in terms of our social contacts, whether it's even a wise decision to follow the Lord. And Paul assures them that it is a wise decision, and he strengthens them and exhorts them to continue in the faith, that is, to continue being faithful to the Lord. And he is honest with them. "We must, through many tribulations, enter the kingdom of God." Then, because he's interested in them, it says in verse 23, they appointed elders in every church and prayed with fasting. They prayed to the Lord for the faithfulness of these people, for their protection spiritually, and they commended them to the Lord in whom they had believed. And so they're telling the Lord all about these people and trusting the Lord to keep them after they leave. But they establish this leadership. They establish these elders. And the question we have to ask, is this the way that churches should be led today? Is this the way that leadership should be established in churches today? So Paul and Barnabas went into the area and preached the gospel. As they discerned certain men having the gift of leadership, they laid their hands on them. And you'll notice the men they laid their hands on were probably the older men in the group, probably some of the first ones that were saved, and some of the older men in terms of their maturity were ones that probably they laid their hands on and identified with. But what was Paul really doing? Well, he was pointing out what God had appointed. If we were to go to Acts 20 and verse 28, when Paul makes his last journey to Ephesus, he warns the leadership of that church to be faithful to the Lord. And he says, "Take heed to yourselves," verse 28 of chapter 20, he says, Take heed yourselves, and to all the flock, among which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers, to shepherd the church of God, which he purchased with his own blood. So it was the Holy Spirit that really made leaders. And those who had been made leaders through the Holy Spirit were not youngers, they were olders, they were elders. So it wasn't the immature that would be leading the flock, it would be the mature that would be leading the flock. And they were overseers, that is, they didn't do all the work, but they were people who supervised the work and made sure that the work was being done scripturally and in fellowship with the Lord and was being done in a doctrinally sound way. They were to shepherd the church of God, so they didn't lead the church of God by beating them and by forcing them to do right, but they led them by their love for them and by their care for them. They were shepherds to the flock that God had given them. Sometimes we call the elders, the overseers of our congregations, under shepherds. The Lord is the chief shepherd. He's the great shepherd, but he has assigned shepherd duties, bishop duties, to those who are leading the church of God. And they don't force the church, they lead the church. And so they were to shepherd the church of God, which he had purchased with his own blood. And so the question is this the way in which church leadership should be established today? And I personally believe that it is, because if I were to take you to 1 Timothy chapter 3, the qualifications for elders are given there. The qualifications for bishops and deacons are given there. And I think it's in Titus that these same people again are called elders. And again, that term is used in some of Peter's writings. So we know that elders, that bishops, that pastors, they're probably all looking at the leadership in the church from a different way. Now, you'll notice that it wasn't established democratically. Many congregational types of churches today vote their leadership in. The Lord didn't tell us to vote our leadership in. The discerning people who start the work recognize the first leaders. Probably, from what we can tell, those leaders would in fact encourage others to follow after them, much like the apostles did in Acts chapter 6. They established men that they could see were men of faith, men who were submitting themselves to the Spirit of God, men who were faithful, men that the congregation had confidence in. They used those men to take on some of their responsibilities. We might call those men deacons. And then it appeared that from those deacons, God developed men for evangelism and for other work in the church, and probably, as near as I can tell, new leaders would develop out of the ones that came alongside the elders in the early church. It was the apostles and prophets that came alongside those men to help them. So, those who start a work recognize the first leaders. Those leaders, in cooperation with the congregation itself, establish new leadership as men are developed. There is no limit on who can be a part of that leadership if they are qualified. They aren't the younger ones, they are the older ones, they are the mature ones. And this is the way in which God establishes leadership today. So we can see that they appointed elders in every church because they wanted leadership that would be godly and that would protect the church and that would shepherd the church. And then they commended them to the Lord and made them realize that really it's the Lord that is going to be the one who keeps you and who supports you and who meets your needs. Then they went back and preached in some other towns, and when they had sailed back to Antioch, from whence they had been commended to the grace of God. So let's just read this so that I get it right. After they had passed through Pisidia, they came to Pamphylia. Now when they had preached the word in Perga, they went down to Attalia, and from there they sailed to Antioch, where they had been commended to the grace of God for the work which they had completed. So this is where we find out that their original commendation was to the grace of God. That is, it was the desire of the original congregation that they would be led by the Lord, cared for by the Lord, and that they would be guided by the Lord in their work. I think that's what's implied when it says they were commended to the grace of God. The grace of God has to do with God's gift. It has to do with God's blessings, and they were commended to that for that work that they had done. And they came back then in verse 27, gathered the church together and reported all that God had done with them, and that they had that he had opened the door of faith to the Gentiles. And this is the beauty of this work. They were accountable to that church in Syria, and they were able to come back and say, God has done a marvelous work. We've preached the gospel, and there have been those who have responded to it. We have preached the same gospel that we preached to the Jews back here, it was preached in Jerusalem in Acts chapter 2. We have preached how that Christ died and was buried and was raised again the third day. The Jews have not accepted the fact that Jesus is the Messiah, but the Gentiles have, and God is doing a mighty work, and what joy there must have been as they were able to tell them of souls being saved and of the deliverance from pagan worship that had taken place, and of the power of the gospel. And you know, folks, the gospel is still the power of God unto salvation. And we may not be sent on a missionary journey, but there are people around us that we can be missionaries to. We can love them, and we can tell them of the love of the Savior, how that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. And after they had told these people in the original church of the work that God had done through them, then they stayed there a long time with the disciples. And I wonder what they did. They weren't on a missionary journey. So did they just lay on their laurels and kick back and take a vacation? I don't think so. I think that they were a help to the work there in that local area, and were likely preaching the gospel just as faithfully there as they preached it when they went out on their missionary journey. We who have been saved have a responsibility to tell others that they can be saved. And this is what builds up the church, as we see others responding to the truth that Christ did indeed die for the ungodly. Scarcely for a righteous man will one die, but perhaps for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commends his love to us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. That was the message they preached. That's the message we preach. And I hope it's the message you have believed. Now, our Heavenly Father, we commend ourselves to thee again today, and thank thee for the opportunity to preach the gospel. We thank thee for those who have listened. Bless them. We commend ourselves to thy care, as we give thanks in our Savior's name. Amen. Now, our address is Bible Studies, Box 192, Greenfield, Iowa, 50849. Bible Studies, Box 192, Greenfield, Iowa, 50849. My website address is bdcministries.faithweb.com. bdcministries.faithweb.com. And we do thank you for listening. Thank you.